Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. Before I bring on my first guest, director Haley Watson, we're in Orange County. We broadcast live from UC Irvine. But I know many people who are affected right now by these wildfires. So check in with your people, please. You know, your friends, your family, whatever, your colleagues, message them on social media. If you can't get a hold of them, check in. This is a serious wildfire situation that has unfolded for coastal areas of Southern California. And, the winds are just fueling this and people are affected everywhere. The Palisades areas have been affected, Malibu, and get online, check the areas. Again, check in with your people. This is a really important time to be compassionate and kind and check in because so many people are affected. So I'm going to bring on my first guest, but I want to tell you a little bit about her. Director Haley Watson is known for films exploring human experience. Her storytelling is exemplified when she pitched the original story for the Oscar winner, The Queen of Basketball. Watson's journey through the camera department includes recognition from AFI and ASC. She now debuts the short documentary she directed, Motorcycle Mary, which I loved. And if you go onto the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, there is a link to the trailer, and you can actually watch the film online, and you can learn more about it. And Haley is joining us right now. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. As we talked about, I'm glad you're safe. I know you're in the LA area.
Ugh. Yes. Thank you. Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's scary times here, but it's all is well with me right now, and I'm thinking of people out by the fires and evacuating.
Yes. Yes. So, congratulations on your film, Motorcycle Mary. I know it's bittersweet.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, very much so. It's bittersweet. I'm so happy that Mary's story is out there, but I'm very sad that she's passed during this wonderful time of celebration of her story.
Did she have a chance to see the film?
Yes, absolutely. She first saw the film. We had a locked cut of the film, and was absolutely floored, and then she was able to join us for the world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival, which was great. She was able to see that with a live audience. She was able to experience people coming up to her afterward and saying how inspired they were about her story, and a few other screenings, including a home front premiere for her and her family in Reno. So she was able to enjoy seeing the film with an audience and having people experience her story. So I'm
beautiful. So
grateful for that.
That is beautiful. So could you tell us a little bit about Mary McGee? I know, in the 50s, she became really, prominent as one of the first women motorcycle riders. But how did you decide to take on this project? How did you meet her?
Yes. So she is the first female motorcycle rider in the United States, and she is the first woman to be internationally licensed by FIM. So she is the first.
Wow.
I came across Mary's story. I do documentary research, and shortly after the pandemic, I was so curious about the mental strength and fortitude of athletes that complete really wild endurance stories. And I had been researching people that circumnavigate the earth and do really long distance 100-mile races. And in my research, I came across Mary McGee, Baja 500 solo first person, some
Whoa.
Like very generic
wow.
Page.
Yeah.
And I stumbled on her Wikipedia. There were some of the accomplishments and amazing things she had done listed there. And I had started doing additional research about her, and to my surprise, I found nearly nothing on the internet or, greater research about her. And I was like, why doesn't anybody know about this person?
Yes.
So that's really what launched the start of the film, and my research was then trying to find Mary and connecting with her.
Mm. So I'm sure she confronted a lot of sexism along the way.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think in the 1950s and 60s, it's, you know, that's those kind of remarks in adversity, it's so much more clearly placed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from Mary's story when she's telling it in the film and also just from stories she told me personally, it was very clear that she felt like an outsider and she was the odd man out. And I know she faced a lot of, you know, I like in the film itself, she says, well, I wasn't their girlfriend, I wasn't their sister, and I wasn't their mother, so what did they do with me? And I think that's kind of encapsulates the feeling she had when she was racing.
Yes. I love how you captured her relationship with her brother, and I'm not going to give too much away, but I love that whole, you know, relationship and how that, would you say that was really the way she became influenced into this, you know, into riding?
Absolutely. I think Jim, who raced cars, was a tremendous racer, and Mary was around to see him become a really great racer. And, you know, Jim's career was also influenced by just being around at the early days of what would become all different offshoots of car racing. And I think, you know, because they were around each other and because Jim was such a lovely, protective, like loving brother, he wanted Mary to have opportunity to do something that was fun to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was around to be able to experience all the amazing car racing. And then, you know, Mary eventually got, was scouted by a really prominent, amazing coach at the time, Vasek Polak, who mm-hmm. created a Porsche team. And then he was the person that encouraged her to get on a motorcycle. So I think incredible. Jim's presence and just his respect for his sister and knowing her capabilities and, you know, wanting her to have opportunities really helped mm-hmm. other people to see Mary in a light that was like, oh, yeah, Mary can do this. Mary yeah. should have opportunities. So,
sure.
yeah, an amazing relationship between the two of them.
Well, I know I put the synopsis on the show blog, but I know that it was mentioned that Mary's early life was riddled in fear, and her brother, you know, guided her. I would imagine that really helped her overcome so much by doing all the things she did.
Oh, I mean, so many things. I mean, two small children growing up on it during the World War II era in Alaska. You know, in the film, they talk about they had to evacuate as two kids. Mary and her brother lived with their single mom, who was a nurse, and medical professionals were ordered to stay in Alaska, and they essentially had to get on a train all the way to Iowa, you know, by themselves as a 5 and a 9-year-old. That's wild.
And very much so, yes.
Yeah, in a time, you know, in a time where war is going on, so I, you know, that experience and definitely some other things in the film, we don't necessarily cover this, but Mary also was later in her life as a child was polio stricken and paralyzed for about a year. And, you know, all of these and then one day basically got better. She's like, I don't really know why it happened.
Yeah.
But she's like, I got better. So I think all these circumstances with you know, having her brother and her having to rely on each other and her having to really navigate the world as a 5-year-old girl and really having to become an adult and mm-hmm. have courage and bravery, that definitely informed how she was as an adult and how she was as an athlete.
Incredible. So what was it like the first time you met her?
Oh, my gosh. Met her at a supercross race. So she lived in Gardnerville, Nevada, which is outside of Lake Tahoe. At the time that I found her on Facebook, she's like, I happen to be in Anaheim if you want to come out to this event. And she was being honored at a supercross race.
Okay.
And I was texting her beforehand and I was trying to find her. And, like, I'm looking around for her, and then on the Jumbotron, she appears when she's being honored for this award, and I was like, okay, I'll wait till she comes off. And we eventually met up by our seats, and I said, "Hey, Mary, I'm Haley." And she just opened her arms and gave me a huge hug. And I was, you know, I'm floored. Like, you know, I've never met this person. We have no relationship other than a couple messages on Facebook. And she was so warm, and we didn't get to talk so too much at that race because the Supercross events, if you've ever been there, they are so loud.
Yes.
And but we chatted later, and she was like, "Well, you know, are you going to, you said you're going to do this thing. Are you going to come up and do it?" And I was like, "Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, I'll get my pencil and my camera and we'll do it." And so, you know, so,
what a gift.
So warm, so inviting.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. And then, tell me about the footage, because you captured her life, her backstory, in such an incredible way. I loved all the footage in the film.
Thank you. Yeah. We were very lucky that, so we did at the time that we were doing the interview, the majority of the film is Mary's archive, which at the time, you know, in talking to her, I was like, "You know, if you have any photos or things you've kept over the years, I would love to, you know, try to piece together as much as your story possible." And sometimes that doesn't mean that people have kept anything, but luckily in Mary's case, she had kept tubs of archive, like beautiful medium format photography and articles that she's kept over the years.
That's great.
And then we filmed at her nephew's house, and his father happened to be a good friend of Mary's, and obviously was around his family when Mary was around during her career, and had captured thousands of reels of Super 8 of Mary racing just as a friend. And so he brought to us this tub of archive, which ended up being 7,000 feet of Super 8 footage that had never been scanned.
Whoa.
Which was like a documentary filmmaker is a dream.
Yes.
So we went through that footage and we scanned the grand majority of it and pieced together, you know, other things from, you know, the Peterson archives, which was the automotive archive that had been there in the early days and collected photos from Mary's Baja 1000 and Baja 500. So we're so lucky to have so much great material from when Mary was racing that had been wonderfully preserved.
Amazing. How long did it take you to make this film?
It took a long time. We filmed the interview in 2022. And, you know, a lot of that time was in editorial. There was a time when the film went on pause. I mean, the documentary itself, especially in its early days when we were making it, didn't have a lot of support. And it took a lot of time to just get that support. I'm a new filmmaker. This is my first original documentary.
Okay.
So it just took some time to get that confidence. And then I think, you know, once people saw Mary's story and really believed in it, we had the partnership with Breakwater, which was wonderful, and then eventually ESPN came on and curated it into 30 for 30, which was amazing.
It's so amazing, yes.
It took a little bit of time to get some traction, but I think once we had the edit together and had gone through the archive and placed together those really meaningful scenes that you see today, people really understood how important Mary's story is.
Yeah. And I also want to congratulate you, because I know you wrote an original story that for the 2021 Academy Award winning The Queen of Basketball.
Yes, thank you.
Outstanding.
I'm very proud of that, and I'm, you know, happy to be continuing with the stories of the Lucy Harrises of the world from The Queen of Basketball, and stories like Mary to continue to pull out amazing women from history that, you know, deserve to be recognized that didn't get their flowers at the time. So I'm so happy to be, you know, bringing to the forefront these incredible women, you know, just to reinstate that women have always been around doing incredible things. And now for the Marys and the Lucys of the world, they get that time to be recognized for their incredible contributions to sports in the world.
That's amazing. So after meeting Mary, making the documentary, were you inspired to write at all?
Yes, and I have the secret has been I have been slowly getting on motorcycles since meeting Mary. I got some phone call coaching from her at one point.
Nice.
I got on a motorcycle over Thanksgiving, which a friend of mine had pulled out. That was just like a 50cc kind of
perfect
junk bike, as they call it, and I rode around in the grass. So, yeah, I've definitely been inspired to ride, and I'm working on that slowly and trying to take Mary's advice to not be afraid and to just breathe and to just say yes. So it's a work in progress.
I love it. I was going to ask what her advice was. Was there anything else about, like, technique, or was it mostly just, like, you know, breathe, relax, all that?
That was definitely the primary and the forefront, but Mary also would follow that up with, you have to have good sense, which I think is another part of just her saying, like, and I think speaks to also this, like, navigation of what she was doing, where she says, you know, what, say yes, what's the worst that can happen? But also, she was, I think she was reading the situation, whether it was like facing adversity or problems on a track or thinking about how to get over a blind turn at Laguna Seca. She said, have good sense. So she would do things like on a practical level when she was riding, she would walk a track, map it out,
talk
to riders. Yeah. And then, you know, when facing adversity and things that was happening, she was, a lot of it would just roll off of her like water. So, but I think I take that to heart too, of like, you can say yes to something and kind of figure it out. But she was also saying, like, you know, be thoughtful,
smart.
Be strategic, be
yes.
smart.
Yes.
Don't be reckless.
So I asked that because I had a feeling. I mean, I think about her and, I've noticed a lot of women, especially in the pandemic or post-pandemic, have started learning how to ride. And I think you get it to a point in your life where you think, you know, what are the things I'm scared of, or what are the things I've always wanted to do, and why aren't I doing them? And I shared with you before we started, I had the same experience. Here in Orange County, there's Saddleback Riding Academy. Shout out to them. And I took a class, I think it was 2020, and it was, you know, I was learning on a Honda Grom, 125cc, perfect. And then, you know, I wanted to take their three-wheel class, perfect, you know, and it's such an exhilarating experience to do something like that.
Yeah, and I love this story, of course, and I think it's... Yeah, I think also just like as someone from my personal experience, as someone that's like getting a little bit older, I find I'm so much more scared of certain things that I was not scared of when I was younger. And so it surprised me to get on the bike and be like, oh, I have a little bit of fear and working through that. And
yes.
And I think that's like such an interesting challenge for myself. And I love having those types of challenges in life where like you get to accomplish those things where you're like, oh, I don't know if I should be doing this, but it feels right.
I don't know, Haley. Well, I'm going to be thinking of Mary because, you know, every time like something holds me back, I'm like, what would Mary think? I don't even know her, but just watching the film. And if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with director Haley Watson about Motorcycle Mary. She's just really inspiring that don't let fear hold you back in life, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, I think about that too. Like, I am floored. Like, the first time that she gets on a motorcycle and she describes this in the film, but I think what this, it doesn't get to let you on to just because of the nature of it's a short. That is essentially the first time she ever gets on a motorcycle, and she's getting on a racing bike and going like over 100 miles an hour. I know. And I can't imagine that. And she's like 24. And then when she does the Baja 500 solo, she's 39. And I'm like, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm constantly like, I'm reminded and floored by those things and like putting myself in these like tiny situations where I'm just like sitting on a small
50cc bike
in the grass. Bike.
Terrified.
And it is like a whole, you know, a whole nother wave of like, oh my gosh, Mary, you are incredible.
Yes. I was wondering how in the world she did that. Like, come on, there's got to be a little bit of like practice somewhere before she jumped on that ferocious beast of a bike and took off.
I know. She did have a Triumph Tiger Cub, but I know that when she was riding that bike, it was a small 50cc bike, and it was essentially to go get mail at the mailbox. And I have to think that, like, car racing must have helped, but I'm just floored. And then when we did the interview with her, I was trying to be like, well, isn't this stuff scary? And there was never a moment in the interview or any time I was with her that she was like, oh, yeah, it was terrifying. Amazing. I think the most terrifying thing to her was just being an outsider, and that's what, like, gave her butterflies. But it was, like, as soon as she was on a bike or behind a wheel in a car, she was at home.
And you know what else? There's nothing more powerful than other people believing in you when you don't believe in yourself.
Yes.
I mean, what a fuel for her fire to have her brother, to have, I forget the gentleman's name you mentioned, who, you know, said, oh, okay, you know, forget about racing cars, you're going to race motorcycles. Like, to have these male figures believe in her, as you said, when other people watching were just ridiculing or not being supportive.
Yeah, that Vashek, her coach that eventually brought her onto the Porsche team. I think, having those people that were so close to her, and, you know, Jim, her brother, who she had such a close relationship, and then Vashek, who is very respected in the automotive world and is a name in Southern California to this day, I think that obviously, like, really helped. It's, you know, it's so meaningful to anyone to get validation, and to have that from those two people, I'm sure, was incredibly meaningful.
Yeah. So tell me where the movie can be seen. I know it's online, but has it also gone to film festivals?
Yes. So I would say the best place to get updates is an Instagram for the movie, motorcycle.mary. Mm-hmm. You can find the film on the ESPN YouTube page. If you look up Motorcycle Mary, it's a 30 for 30 short. It's available YouTube. You can see it from anywhere at any time for free. The film is also available on ESPN Plus and Disney Plus as
Very
well.
Very cool. And actually, I did find the information about the festivals. You have a tremendous list where it was seen
it's
in 2024.
Been great.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have some upcoming screening. I'm not sure I can say yet, but we have some upcoming screenings in 2025 that we're really excited about. It kind of kicks off in February, and maybe some things toward the end of this month, but we'll be continuing to screen at festivals, and that will be available for people. And again, the best way to see festival updates is probably the Instagram page.
Okay. And I know you probably can't say, but you can give me a little hint. Will it be in LA? Will I be able to come out and, you know,
I think there will be some, there will be a screening at some point in LA. Yes.
Great.
I do think that will happen.
Okay, so, great.
For everyone that's local to Los Angeles, will be announcements soon.
Fantastic. Okay. And I'll check the Instagram. I want to thank you so much. Have you already started thinking about your next documentary or what you're working on next?
Yes, I like to keep some irons in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say too much at this point, but, you know, this is definitely my passion, especially stories like Mary's and the Lucy's of the world, and things beyond sports, where you're just, like, you know, bringing to light these people that deserve recognition and credit for the incredible things that they do. So I hope to continue to do that as a filmmaker. And, yes, definitely some things in the works, and more soon on that.
Fantastic. And one last thing I didn't ask, because I'm a screenwriter as well. I really enjoy writing short scripts. Was that a decision you made at the very beginning when you took on this project?
To
make a short, make this a short film.
I think for this one in particular, we knew it was going to be a short. I think shorts get an interesting rap, and it can be tough to find homes for shorts. But I think, you know, Mary is a great example of, like, when a team comes together, a short can have a tremendous impact. So, you know, find the right length for the story, and I'm so happy to have Mary's story done in this way. And we thought it was going to be a short, and it turned out that way.
It's perfect.
Maybe it will expand in the future. But, shorts are definitely not short of impact in, as well. And I think people should consider that when they're creating films.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Haley. I really enjoyed this. Congratulations. And hopefully we can meet in the future.
Yes, that sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was director Haley Watson talking about her incredible film, Motorcycle Mary, which you can see online. On my show blog, you can see the trailer, and the show blog is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. There is an image of Mary on her bike, and the film is really inspiring. I also included the log line, the synopsis, and more about director Haley Watson. And we're going to take a little break, and then we will be back. When we come back, I'm going to play the conversation I had with Richard M. Cohen, who just recently passed away. He's the husband of Meredith Vieira, and he struggled with multiple sclerosis for most of his life. But at the time, this was 2018 when I had this conversation with Richard, he had written this great book called Chasing Hope, A Patient's Deep Dive into Stem Cells, Faith, and the Future. He is also the New York Times bestselling author of Blindsided. So we'll listen to that in a little bit when we come back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.